Words Appear, an Apple Original. Imagine Documentaries. Nine Muses Entertainment. In a home movie, a man walks a woman into a hospital. Words Appear, 1981, Los Angeles, California. Inside, an orderly pushes her in a wheelchair. Subtitles appear. First time? I've seen you somewhere before. Yeah, I've been around.
Causing a lot of excitement tonight.
How are you doing?
Nurse, ready to have your baby? In a delivery room.
Is it Bryce?
Bryce. Hey. Bryce Dallas.
Welcome to the world, Bryce.
Bryce. Hey, Bryce.
The man leans over his daughter.
Dad.
On a film set.
This is cool, right?
This is really
Are
cool.
you taking a picture?
Yeah, why not?
Ron Howard takes a photo.
Are you proud, Dad?
Absolutely. Always. This is the payoff for being a dad.
An Imagine Documentaries production in association with Dove Men Plus Care and Unilever Entertainment and Nine Muses Entertainment.
Okay, so dads. Dads, apparently you're one.
I am one.
Mm-hmm. Good, cool. So I'm going to ask you about it.
Okay.
Finish this sentence. A father is...
Conan O'Brien, father of two.
If I'm the expert, this whole project is in terrible trouble. So please tell me you've got better people coming in.
I remember that I have children. I know I have four of them. 27-year-old daughter named...
Jimmy Kimmel.
We're off to a bad start.
Dude, I can't believe this is you with, like, a cold.
But I think my voice sounds kind of more manly.
Yeah, which is...
Okay. So it's kind of a tough guy voice.
Jimmy Fallon, father of two.
Hi.
Neil Patrick Harris, father of two.
I'm so excited.
Kenan Thompson, father of two.
I'm off the mark.
There we go.
Hasan Minhaj, father of one.
How many dads are you interviewing?
My childhood, yes. West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days.
Will Smith, father of three.
I gotta follow Will Smith? Don't tell me that.
Patton Oswalt, father of one.
Don't put that in my head.
You could just stand naturally.
Ken Jeong, father of two.
That's my natural resting. Okay, we're on the same page creatively.
The father is, wow.
Judd Apatow, father of two.
Should I know the answer to that, and it's weird if I don't?
The role of the modern father, what dads are today, is really not defined.
Totally.
It's a societal thing that the dads are kind of in the background. The sooner that narrative changes, I think, the better.
Oh my gosh, so that's a little girl in there.
My brother, who's the youngest of four, is about to have his first kid.
Oh my God.
So can I ask you questions? What made you want to do this?
I want to know more about what it takes to be a father and celebrate all the great dads out there.
I think being the father, today more than ever, it's a very fluid thing. There are no rules.
It's all things at once. It's multiplicities.
Oh my God, it's this magical, intimidating thing. No, let's talk about everything so that more people will do it and be better at it.
Oh my God.
A father wears a pink wig with makeup on his face.
So, in the simplest terms, what is a father?
Jimmy Fallon.
A hero?
A father hugs his graduating daughter.
That's just the first thing I'm going to say, because I look up to my dad.
A father cuddles his infant and toddler.
If I do it right, I should be a hero to them.
A title appears in rudimentary block letters. Dads. Fade to black. Now palm trees stand tall in a suburban neighborhood. Words appear. Glenn Henry, San Diego, California.
How does it go?
Shoes.
Glenn plays a toy xylophone as his two young sons and toddler daughter watch him.
Where are you?
Dang it, I keep messing up.
Just woke up and it's such a nice day.
Later, he washes dishes in a cluttered kitchen.
Where are you? Shoes.
The role of fatherhood has shifted in a major way because we went from providing, being there for holidays, and like disciplining.
Can you clear the table, please? Get a cup, please. Yeah, get it.
To being all the way involved. And you kind of look like a dork if you're not.
Clean up the toys. Girls and boys, put it away.
One of the two boys pulls out a basket from a shelf and drops a toy into it.
Girls and boys.
I feel like being a father made me the man I am.
The girl toddler walks to her father with a cup.
Papa!
Thank you. Go get faster. Now you gotta move faster. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
He continues in the kitchen as the little girl sweeps with a small broom.
Clean up, clean up. Oh, look, it's a dish over there. Good job, buddy.
My children taught me to be authentic and be honest with myself.
What are we having for lunch?
Fatherhood has given me a whole new identity.
I used to work here, started out folding shirts and displaying stuff and helping out salesmen, and then I actually got my first sales job.
I had a hard time. My wife, like, hated the fact that I didn't love my job.
I don't know why I said what I said.
Yvette Henry.
But I said it. What if you just stayed home with the kids?
I'm hiding in the kitchen. Because the kids aren't allowed in the kitchen. Is he there? I definitely underestimated the situation.
Glenn pretends to cry along with his toddler.
All hell broke loose. The poop blowouts. Poop up the back, poop in the hair.
In a video, he changes a diaper.
It's poop here, it's poop here. You're just tired of smelling poop.
Are you kidding me? Where is the powder?
I don't know.
What's that smell?
It smells like pee.
His sons fight.
Okay, we're gonna be fine, everybody.
Go in the potty, boy. Yeah.
His son throws a tantrum on the toilet.
I thought it was going to be easy.
Wipe my breath. Wipe my butt. Wipe my butt.
I sucked.
I'm trying to figure out how to keep my...
I knew I wanted to be a good father.
My patience.
But I didn't know how. And I really hadn't had enough experience with stay-at-home moms or knew any stay-at-home dads at all. So I was just kind of like, man, I felt like I was an imposter. I just remember crying in this bathroom right here. And you hear the kids banging on the door.
Papa!
It was like, yo, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this if I don't get some type of encouragement. Like, really?
Some of you guys are new to my page. My name is Belief. I am a father.
At first, I would just pull the camera out and start talking to the camera. And then I was like, instead of pointing the camera to myself, I'm going to point it to my kids.
These are my children, the chocolate babies. Say hi. Hi. Say hi.
And I want to show, like, what I'm experiencing as a father.
You freaking kidding me, yo? I'm stupid for leaving this out. But you shouldn't have touched this.
Broken eggs lie in a crib.
Yo, I swear, man, you can't even write some of the stuff I go through. I left the bags there. Raya goes into the bag. I was checking on Theo. He's on a potty. And your Raya does this. You could have took a lot of different things, but you decided to take the eggs. Not cool, bro. All bad. All bad. Horrible. Yeah, now I gotta give you a bath. Does anyone feel sorry for me?
No.
You said no? So I started to share my rough experiences. I found a lot of people who felt like me. I got encouraged, and then I just kept making videos.
Video clips play of him out and about and at home with the kids.
To be honest with you, I wasn't a fan of the whole putting our family out there.
How long has Theo been holding his poop?
3 days.
Come over here.
Why? Are you recording me?
Yeah, recording. Walk here with me. Turn the corner.
He zooms in on poop on the floor.
Did you get it, babe?
Yeah,
ugh,
I got
it. Get in my face. Stop. Babe, don't play with me.
He really just wanted people to get the authentic experience of what it meant to be a stay-at-home parent.
Glenn enters a cluttered garage and approaches a washing machine. He starts it and sits down at a computer workstation. He works in editing software. A mug of tea reading Toddler Tears sits next to him.
This has been another episode of Belief in Fatherhood.
This whole dad vlogging lifestyle, I don't know if this has ever been a thing, but I'm loving it.
Good morning, anyone. Does anyone have any questions?
I do.
For the chocolate babies. Well, they're going to ask you questions. Are you a stay-at-home dad? Yes, I am. Technically, I work from home.
It forced me to realize the power of transparency.
All right, so boom.
He clicks a mouse and types.
As a stay-at-home dad, it really doesn't help if we're private.
I love your hair.
He washes his son's dreadlocks.
Dad, how do you love my hair?
Yeah, just like it is, buddy. I like you just how you are. I love your chocolate skin.
I think that we need more fathers exposing their lives and opening their windows and allowing us to see the heart of a father.
What
letter is yeah?
Glenn teaches his son at a whiteboard.
Not you. It sounds like you because it's you was Sounds just like this letter and this.
I was a terrible stay-at-home father at first, but I got good at it.
Bacon.
Go me.
Bacon. Okay, let's go.
He helps his daughter off the couch and follows her to the kitchen.
Come on, okay.
I am the man in their life, so I have to be excellent.
Still hot. You gotta blow it. Let me see you blow it. Very good. Mmm.
She chews on a piece of bacon.
To go from being married to somebody who doesn't want to talk about their job to somebody who is now walking in their calling is just like, what the heck? Like, it's a complete transformation. I'll try not to cry.
Don't put it all in your mouth. Smaller bites, please. Now I understand, like, a lot of stay-at-home moms who have working husbands, like, don't ask me what I did today. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have no idea what I've been through. It's hard. Yeah.
Yes.
You want Cheerios, too?
Yes.
All right. Are you ready to say your prayers?
One of his sons runs away.
Your kid doesn't care who the president is. Your kid cares that you pay attention. You are the center of that child's world. Your dad.
Good night, baby.
Glenn turns out the lights in their bedroom.
Good night. Good night. I'm gonna close the door now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. No. Nope. Bye.
With Hassan.
There's this saying that you're the best parent you'll ever be before you have kids.
Oh, because everything is theoretical? It's all in theory, like when I become a parent, dot, dot, dot.
In a home movie, a pregnancy test is held in front of a man's face as he washes dishes.
What does that mean?
We're pregnant.
He runs through the house with Jimmy Kimmel.
I do remember my first reaction when my wife told me that she was pregnant. I remember thinking, wow, it worked. It's almost like when you grow tomatoes in your yard, like, hey, look at that. I got tomatoes.
There is a bun in the oven. Take it out.
Pregnancy tests.
Pregnancies are revealed to different fathers.
Thank you very much.
No, babe, look at them.
What?
The tests.
With Neil Patrick Harris.
David and I decided that a family would be important to us, and we thought about maybe adopting, but we thought, why don't we try the surrogacy process to see? First, we tried the old-fashioned way, and I just could not get him pregnant.
Is this you?
Yes.
Are you joking?
No. Do you understand bun in the oven, Nathan?
He opens a bun in a pan, revealing a test.
Come here.
They hug.
Oh, bye.
With Judd.
It's suddenly the most important thing you'll ever do in your life, and you have no preparation for it in any way. And it's really scary.
I'm leaving!
A man runs down a flight of stairs.
God, no! Please! You got that from a joke store?
Did I get it from where?
Did you get it from a joke store? Did you get it from a joke store?
No.
Oh, Lord, my chest.
He paces, carrying the test.
My chest. Baby, oh. We can't be doing it. I'm not doing it no more. I'm done. I'm sleeping with long johns on. From now on. Baby, what we gonna do?
What you mean, what we gonna do? We gonna do the same thing we did for the last three.
Oh, baby, just... Oh, Lord, diapers.
Really?
His eyes widen.
We're going to be all right.
You're going to be all right.
You're going to be all right?
You're going to be all right.
You all right?
He sits, staring at the test.
What advice would you give to someone who's about to become a father?
I just tell them this will change your life and be the most meaningful thing that happens to you in your life, and that's all I'm going to say to you. And then I try to throw one of those smoke things down so I can disappear. But I'm a terrible magician, so the smoke clears and then they see me walk away and it's, the drama's lost.
On a porch.
All right, let's figure this out.
Reed Howard, Westchester, New York. He pulls a baby car seat from a large box.
Growing up, I always saw myself as someone who wanted to have kids.
He installs the seat in a car.
Do not remove. God, I need to read directions. But, oh my God. God. To be honest, like, I'm just nervous because I just want everything to go okay.
But this could fling the baby, couldn't it?
That seems like a problem to me. Just as a quick question, is this normal?
He tilts the seat.
No.
Now he assembles a crib.
They don't want you doing that.
Yep,
they want the curved part on the floor.
The due date's about 1 month away, so I think I'm going to be nervous about it until the baby comes out and the baby's okay and Ashley's okay, and then I won't be nervous about it anymore. Then I'll just be nervous about breaking the baby once we have the baby. All right. Why is that not working?
With Will Smith.
I had just gotten a picture-in-picture TV. You remember those? You could have the little picture of another channel. And it was a 1,000-page manual. So I sit my 1,000-page manual down. I'm going through. And I hear Jada say, oh, shit. And I was, what, babe? What, shit? My water broke. My water broke. I was like, oh. Ah. you sure?
In delivery rooms.
When there are babies being born, I'm just nervous.
With Keenan.
Dad hold a leg, and I was like, oh, snap, it's happening here. So no curtain, no, you're telling me not to look. I go, okay, cool. So I'll just hold this leg, and you're doing a great job.
But make no mistake about it. She's Batman, and you're not even Robin. You're like one of the tires on the Batmobile.
In between contractions to distract me, she'll give me these weird hunts to go on. You know what I mean? Can you go find me two apples tied together with an electrical cord? I'm like, got it.
Are there any classes that you guys have taken or anything?
Yeah. We took like a 7-hour class all about like parents that are like first time parents. And they showed you videos and they showed you all sorts of stuff. And to be honest, like, you know, Mom made us all watch our birth video, so I was already traumatized.
Can you just talk a little bit about the birth videos that we have in our family and that tradition?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, the premise is nice. We want you to see, like, what we were like when we were pregnant with you, which is so sweet. So they do some interviews.
Well, I've gained 4 pounds.
At this point, you're about 6 inches.
You know, Mom flashes her belly. Oh, she's pregnant. You know, the cat's running around. It's just Mom and Dad talking about it. And then they decided that it was appropriate to have like a, like 2 feet from exit, like a birthing video.
In a series of home videos, Reed's mother lies on a hospital bed as Ron and the medical staff assist her in giving birth.
You know, I'll let everyone judge on that, but for me, I don't think we're gonna do that. So that's maybe a trait that we're not carrying on.
From nearby, Ashley laughs.
It's good quality family time right there.
On the set.
Do you remember the first time you held your baby?
Yeah. It was just like love at first sight, like for real, for real, for real.
A newborn lies in a hospital bassinet with Jimmy Fallon.
They're just so little. Everything's so mini and tiny. I remember holding her for the first time and going, I just don't want to break this. Can someone else hold this?
But you did it, ultimately.
Yeah, by the end, amazing, one hand. Yeah, I was holding like the Heisman Trophy. I was walking around with my baby like I wasn't even holding the baby.
Keenan nods.
I'm a dad, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt like I was like on duty, you know what I mean? Like a soldier. I was like, I am a dad.
A man carries a baby in a car seat out of a hospital.
I remember driving home from the hospital and just feeling like everybody was an asshole driving, like, relax, y'all. It was the first moment that the full weight of his life was my responsibility.
I remembered us taking Nev, my daughter, into the apartment, and it is the way you watch people carrying a bomb that hasn't gone off. You're just hyper aware of there's a bird 6 miles over that way, but it's headed this way. What if it tries to take her?
When we left, it was just the two of us. Now this dude lives here forever. So we're walking through the door and I see all of my stuff all over the floor for my picture-in-picture TV. And it dawned on me and I looked down and I was like, there's a 1,000-page manual for a picture in picture television. And they sent us home with a baby and nothing. I was like, something's really wrong here, baby.
Judd grimaces as he mimes holding a baby. Videos show dads gagging while changing diapers and a baby throwing up on its dad.
I had my daughter, Katie, and she was about, I don't know, 10 months old, something like that. And I just kind of holding her over my head, and I was smiling. I had my mouth wide open, and she had her mouth wide open. And then she vomited in a forceful column, I guess they call it projectile vomiting, directly into, like, it hit my uvula. It just went right into my throat. And, of course, your reaction is to throw this person, you know, as far away from you as possible, but I didn't. I held on to her, and I just spit as much of it as I could out, and that's when I realized I was a dad.
Every time her body touched the crib, like, it was like a monster movie. I would hold her with bad posture, which led to disc issues later. So I would hold her like this for so long.
Oh, my God. I could fall asleep literally right now from sleep deprivation.
Get up.
You do have weeks and weeks of just no sleep, and you get crazy.
He's crying.
It can break you.
He's crying, babe.
In his sleep, a man sits on a couch patting his chest and rocking.
Where's he at? Where's he at?
He lies down, continuing his patting.
He's right there crying, and he thinks he's holding him.
The baby lies nearby.
So much of our youth is me, 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 gotta go, gotta get, I gotta, gotta. But then when you bring a kid into the world and you realize that's my daughter, your shoulders drop in this very profound way. Oh, right, now it's about her, you know? It's not about me, it's about her. It's this incredible...
His hands hover in front of him.
Realization that you are not the most important person in the world.
As a parent, the thing that you always are most scared of,
yeah,
when you have a kid, is you say, what's the one thing that you want your kid to be?
Healthy, yes, of course. I wasn't at all worried that there would be anything wrong. When my son Billy was born, I had three kids that were all perfectly healthy.
Our kids were born premature, and we didn't know what was going to happen. It's one of those things where that changes everything.
You know, you're only as happy as your family is, and so you're very vulnerable.
He shifts his weight, blinking and nodding. Robert Selby, Triangle, Virginia, in a hospital.
Well, this is Daddy. You about to be here in a little bit. We couldn't wait for you to come.
He took your happy ass time 2 days late, but you better come out today. Today.
When you're expecting a child, the parents, they always prepare for the baby showers, the gender reveal, the decorating the rooms, and the picking out names and stuff like that. Everything is always happy. They never prepare for the what ifs.
Mommy say you're 2 days late, but my thing is, you don't rush perfection. You're gonna be a perfect child. We love you to death. Daddy signing out.
Photos show a newborn attached to monitors.
I remember bells and whistles or the monitors started going off. Next thing you know, like a SWAT team came in. We cannot wait. He needs emergency surgery right now. They told us he got congenital heart defect. He had two holes in his heart. It didn't resonate with me, like, what actually was going on? Like, what are you telling me?
Nurses wheel the baby on a gurney.
The first time I saw him out of the surgery room, I broke down crying because it didn't look like my child.
Tubes and wires cover the baby.
And he was just like a lifeless doll.
In a photo, Robert reads to him.
I just knew at that time, man, like, I'm forever gonna be his protector. There's no doubt in my mind that I will ever leave this child.
The baby is examined by hospital staff.
This is the first surgery you did where we just sort of alleviated the obstruction inside the heart before the pulmonary valve, but he still had more obstruction at the valve.
Robert's child, now a toddler, lies on a gurney crying as nurses check his monitor connections.
The first 3 years, it really, really was a lot.
Yeah, that's my little homie Pump right there. Hook him up every night for 10 hours.
His son sleeps on the floor.
My son had home nurses for 3 years, every day of the week. He had a physical therapist 2 times a week, and he was on like 8, 9 medicines.
A syringe is inserted into tubing on the boy's belly.
Okay, we made it. But he hit onto the doctor appointment. He used to have to see 3 doctors a month for almost like 1.5 years.
Okay.
It was a long, 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 rocky process because at that time, I didn't have a car.
I hold my hand.
I had to hop cabs and buses and stuff, and some of his appointments were way in Washington, D.C. I would literally have to leave 6 o'clock in the morning just to be there 30 minutes early.
Yeah, it was a rough night last night. I had to take off work today to make sure, you know, Archie's okay.
I remember one time he got sick, like a small little cold, and he dropped a pound. It took him almost a whole year to get that pound back.
98.7. Okay, baby, you go back to sleep, okay?
RJ cries.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was like I'm a first-time father. Back and forth, I was going to the hospital, the follow-ups, the visits.
Oh, you feel it?
I'm done, Daddy.
Almost.
Almost.
Oh, big bubble.
RJ blows bubbles.
See your heart?
They view RJ's heart on a monitor. Later, Robert leaves his apartment at night.
I had to work overtime. My boss allowed me to leave much time as I needed and stuff, but, you know, I wasn't really getting compensated for it. If I leave, I get a little bit of vacation time, and I burnt all that out.
He drives at night.
I'm heading to work. Work the graveyard shift, what they say. You know, from 11 at night till 7 in the morning. Then 8 till 4, I go to school. 3 hours after that, I pick my son up from the babysitters and do our daily activities. It was just a lot last year, trying to balance, you know, whether I'm gonna pay the rent or the light bill or, you know, my car bill. Like last year, my car got repossessed 3 times. It's another stress on top of stress. My son never saw that, and he never felt that or whatever, because every day he wake up, his daddy's there, you know, it's all fun and games, and just provide as much as I can for him.
Later, he enters the apartment and searches the rooms.
Where's RJ? Where's RJ? Hmm. Marco Polo.
He opens a closet.
He's not in here. Where's he at? Where's he at? It's RJ.
He rounds a couch and hoists the boy into the air.
He just brings something out of me that I don't know what it is. I work 12 hours. I'm tired. But as soon as I come to that door and he embraced me, I love you a lot. All the excuses are out the door. You know, all you know is, daddy left, daddy came back, let's play.
Daddy's home, so what you want to do?
Go outside.
Okay.
I couldn't ask for a better partner in raising a son. Like, our situation, we're not together. We never were. We've always been really good friends. And as cliche as it sounds, it works.
Shantae Williams.
We decided that you don't have to, in our minds, have to be a couple or married to be great parents.
So, you want to play football?
Yes.
With me and RJ?
Yes.
Well, no, you're not playing.
It's to the point, like, my friends tell me they wish that they had my situation, pretty much. And I love that.
Push it in.
RJ helps Robert with his shoe. Okay.
Yeah. But as you can see, he's still up and at it. Like, this is not for show. This is Robert all of the time.
RJ strikes a punching bag.
When Shantae first told me that she was pregnant, like, love this woman through the thick and thin, but when she told me she was pregnant, it just changed the mood in me. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, and I guess I was more scared than anything. So I told her that, you know, I didn't want my son.
A paper ribbon reads, "Little hearts hold big hopes."
And, you know, I stopped talking to her. That was like 2 months I could never get back. Because, like, we talk every day.
RJ plays with an indoor basketball hoop.
At first, he wasn't happy at all. But he turned around for the better.
It shouldn't have took me this long to apologize. And I asked her, I said, if you ever find it in your heart to forgive me and give me a second chance, you will never regret it.
I don't have time.
Okay.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, too.
RJ hugs her. Later, he exits the building with Robert.
I think people can change. I know people can change because I've seen it. You know, I witnessed it.
She said that I made up. She said, you know, you made up for the 2 months that you were absent. But to me, I feel like I've never made up for it.
He rubs his nose and holds a hand over his face, breaking down. He wipes his eyes on the hem of his shirt.
Give me a second.
Sit. On a street, Robert throws a football to RJ, who makes a running catch.
To me, when people are like, oh, you're an awesome dad, you're a great dad. But I'm like, you did not know I didn't want my child.
He helps RJ on monkey bars.
All you see is what you see now. I'm very, very present. But I have my faults and guilt. To me, it's room to be better. My dad barely could read or write, but he always was there when I need him, never shied away from his responsibility or duties. That's just something that I look up to because, like I said, he never had nothing, but he always gave something. To me, he has degrees. He is the president. You know, he's the first man on the moon. So to me, he's everything.
Photos show Robert with his dad and RJ. Robert films his son as they walk down a street and a set of stairs.
My son one day told me that he wanted to be like me. And I looked dead in his eyes. I'm like, you're never going to be like me. I don't want you to be like me. I'm doing everything in my body to mold and shape you to be better than me.
RJ blows out candles on cupcakes.
Hey, happy birthday, son.
Thank you, Daddy.
My son is so smart and so full of life. The goal that I'm looking forward to is this long life and hope that I can live long enough to see my son have a family and see what type of man he'll be.
Daddy?
Yes, LJ?
I love you all of my big heart.
Oh, you do? Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh,
Daddy?
Wow. Ooh.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm quiet. wow.
On the film set.
So finish this sentence.
Yeah.
A father is...
Hassan bites his lip and looks away.
I will say what it meant to me, what my father is for me. A father is my compass.
In home movies, a suited man carries a baby and a family plays on a beach.
My dad had a very strong sense of his own moral guide of what is right and what is wrong. He was a good dad. Stern, but good.
My dad is hard to describe.
A man lifts a boy.
He wasn't a big advice giver. He didn't cook or, you know, do homework with us or any of those things because he was at work all day. But the weekends were when dad would shine. He's a good guy.
Jimmy tears up.
He's not dead or anything. I just get choked up.
I grew up like a lot of children of immigrants where the defining principle that defined our generation was sacrifice.
My father, he worked a lot. And it's funny because now I work a lot.
Have a good day.
I left my wife 24 hours after she gave birth to my daughter to go make television. And even talking about it now, I feel really guilty. When I think about it, I had this very kind of old-fashioned job. Well, I've got to go into Rockefeller Center and do the show, the big show for the people. I probably made that happen in some way where I consciously or unconsciously made myself the dad that was from television. Well, I had the baby, gotta go, time to go to work.
A sea of commuters flow through a subway.
It is programmed into me that you need to go to work, and that's a big part of your job as a dad. I know it's old-fashioned.
I think a big part of the fatherhood narrative is still a very old narrative of the father goes into the wilderness and hews a life and finds supplies and kills an elk, but actually your kid wants you there.
You know, it may be that one person really has to work 75 hours a week, and maybe that's the best thing for the family. And if there's an agreement, then make it a strategy, but don't make it an escape hatch.
Silhouetted against a lavender sky, the statue of Christ the Redeemer stands on a hill overlooking a dark city. Tiago Queiroz, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. A man hugs a child in a dark bedroom.
It's hard for us, I mean, boys in Brazil, to know how to parent. You know, society always says, live it with mom, Dad will do everything wrong.
He feeds his son. Another bite, a big one.
It's bad to have this concept in your head because you really think that you can't do it.
They wash dishes. Papa, I want to help you, but you are helping me.
I have this struggle to balance my father role and my worker role. And it's, I just drink a lot of coffee to balance that.
Subtitles. Thank you, son. It's great. Thanks. You make a great coffee. Tiago and a woman pose with a pregnancy test.
When I became a dad, wow, I changed a lot.
Annie K. Rose.
Eu mudei também. Mas geralmente as mulheres...
Usually women change with maternity.
Parto,
the birth, the pregnancy, he was always with me. So the changes that I went through, he also went through. Photos show the home birth. You can see the transformation in his face.
It was tough because I became a father without having a father. At that point, I realized that I just didn't know what to do. I had no clue about it. I started reading everything that is parenting related. But once you start to understand how you're going to raise that child, you need to go back to work. And it cuts off all the emotion that you have.
I think it's absurd that fathers only have 5 days of paternity leave.
Why do we need the paternity leave? Not only because we need to learn how to raise a child, but we have a mother who is in the postpartum. He needs to support the mother a lot.
Annie plays with their baby. It is true the baby depends more on the mother, exclusively in the first 3 months. But who takes care of the mother? Who will be next to her during this reconstruction process?
How can he support the mother if after 5 days, of paternity leave, he needs to go back to work to get, the bills paid?
In the garage at their car. Come this way. Take your hand off, son. Come this way. Dante gets in first.
I am a mechanical engineer for a living. It's a regular 8-hour day, 8 to 5.
In the car.
Vamos pra escola agora, gente.
Let's go to school now, guys. Yes.
The dads are there. They don't think like me.
He holds his son's hand.
Que fala muito do pai ajudar.
People tell me so much about the helping father. Wow, what a nice father, your husband. He helps so much.
Não é uma ajuda.
No, it's not help. Help is my neighbor that looks after them for a few minutes while I put the clothes to dry. This is help. The father doesn't help. He creates together. He is a caretaker. Tiago plays with their kids. Calm down. Let go of Maya's hand. Calm down and breathe.
There's one thing that I learned from the first day of being a dad is that you need to learn to trust your instincts, okay? We know how to do this.
Tiago and two men set up sound equipment in a room. He found a new voice.
Alô, alô, alô.
He started a podcast with two friends. Tiago and his friends speak into mics. It is nice to see, even though we didn't have affectionate fathers, we can still create a place of love for our kids. I decided to use this tactic. If you leave the toys there, I will throw them out. Here is the problem. You're expecting your daughter to follow your instructions without explaining it to her. And there is fear, too. Do you get it? I get it.
And that's so good to see this movement starting to arise here in Brazil.
Web pages show his blog.
After my first boy was born, I started writing a blog and documenting those early years of experience with my boys. And then there was a comment in the blog post saying something like, I was wondering if it's our time now. And I was like, what is this guy saying? I mentioned that to Annie, and I was sort of like, oh my God, it's your father. He found you. We spent 18 years without seeing each other. It's like a whole life without my father. It feels like I started writing a blog just to be able to meet my father again, and to build a whole new story with him.
His father smiles in a photo.
He was like shaking and crying. He would hug my son and we started crying. It was so good to have my boys having a grandfather. Man, that is good, man. That is so, so good.
He wipes his eyes behind his glasses.
Oh, boy, what a gift.
A photo shows the blonde boy sleeping on his grandfather.
You're going to think I'm making this up, but I'm absolutely not. On the way over here, driving here on the freeway, I'm flipping through the different radio channels, and then I hit Harry Chapin's "The Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon," all about the dad that, like, I don't have time now, son, but later on. And I think all of us dads think about that. We all think about, am I there enough? Sometimes I think, am I there too much compared to my dad? Do you also want to give them their space and let them grow? So it's complicated.
I just think it's changing very quickly, generation to generation, what your job is as a parent.
A man balances a child on his knee and feeds another in a high chair.
From the beginning, my wife and I were like a team, and we're just partners in it. Changing the diapers, sterilizing the milk bottles, all these things, you know, like we were just involved with everything. And thank God I was there.
And I have friends who will be like, yeah, you don't really need to do much for the first year. Then they kind of wake up a little bit and you bond. But in the beginning, it's all the woman, which couldn't be more wrong.
You're doing a good job.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart, so much. Daddy's trying.
Am I doing too much? Am I not being man enough by being this involved? But, like, I like getting my babies into clean diapers.
Showing perseverance. She's going.
This is a new dad that's been invented. I'm taking to school every day and parent-teacher conferences and things. I'm at everything. I feel like I'm kind of going to school.
If my dad had come to school in the middle of the day and I saw him, I'd have shit my pants. Because it would mean either somebody died or I was in incredible trouble. Now, I'm not saying that that was better. I'm not a believer in those were the good old days. But there's definitely been a pendulum swing.
A crowd of commuters stream over three crosswalks forming a triangle at the Shibuya intersection in Tokyo. A middle-aged man with short bleached hair walks down a street in the shadow of a building. Shuichi Sakuma, Tokyo, Japan. He rides an escalator. Subtitles. I used to brag about working 150 hours of overtime. Wearing a quilted parka and glasses, Shuichi steps onto a crowded subway train. Because this was the norm, a man that doesn't work is a dropout of society. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. The doors open and Shuichi exits the crowded train. Now he rides up another escalator. It was constant pain. It made it impossible for me to go to work. Now the sun shines through a slit in the curtains of an apartment. In a small cluttered kitchen, Shuichi whips an egg with chopsticks. Breakfast has a fixed image as a mom's work. You don't often see a man standing in the kitchen in the morning. He wraps a strip of seaweed around a rice cake. In my household, I cook, so this is our standard. A little boy enters the kitchen. Hi, good morning. Good morning. They high five. Put down mom's cell phone. Put the book back. Put the book back. The boy drops it on the floor. Book. Put the book back. The boy picks up his books. You must not use the book like that. Put it away. The boy eats one of the rice cakes. Dad? Yup. Look there. What? There. They share an open-mouthed laugh. A woman is now seated with them. Eat, you. After quitting work 20 years ago, I asked my wife for a divorce. Because of the illness, she would be stuck having to take care of me. And I couldn't stand the thought of that. Shuichi watches the boy eat. I was actually thinking of committing suicide. I clearly remember my wife's exact words. Please continue living for me. He looks off, smiling. Later, the little boy kneels on the carpet. Get ready. Shuichi shakes his head and smiles as the boy struggles to put on a shirt. It looks like you were having fun, but could I give you disappointing news? No. Your shirt is on backwards. The boy smiles. My wife told me I will go and work. They wave goodbye to the woman as she exits. And you stay home. Now Shuichi washes dishes. I have taken over the role of the house husband. The little boy lies on the floor and watches cartoons on TV. Later, he sits in a bike seat behind Shuichi.
Hey, let's go.
They bicycle across the street. He drops the boy off at school. Later, he enters a grocery store. The reason I dyed my hair, to put it simply, you won't find any Japanese businessman with bleached hair. If you dye your hair, you can't go back to work. Now he scrubs a toilet. And that's why I dyed my hair blonde. Now he chops vegetables in the kitchen. I showed my wife and she said, "Oh, looks good on you, looks good on you." Later, he bikes down a street. After going through periodic checkups, my doctor said, "Your illness is gone. What would you like to do?" Outside the school, with his son now situated in the bicycle seat, Shuichi pulls a knit hat over his head. The question that came to me, can I have children? Shuichi rides his bike through town with the boy in the seat behind him. They ride up to a bicycle rack and the boy hops out of his seat. In the apartment, the boy exits the bathroom and spots Shuichi by the door. They hold out their fists and play rock, paper, scissors. The boy grins at his win. My wife adamantly said, "We're not having kids, we don't need them." I went on a 2-year mission to convince my wife. Other than pregnancy, birth, and breastfeeding, a man can do everything else. The father and son eat and watch TV together. After hearing that, my wife finally agreed and said, "Okay, I will give birth for you." Now Shuichi walks down a city street. He enters a green door into a cafe. At a long, crowded table, a man holds a baby. Today, I am in Akihabara for a meeting of the secret society, Friends of House Husbands. A house husband speaks. I came here to talk about various household matters. Really, there's nothing secret about it. We're open. But in Japan, if you say something is secret, it's cool. At the meeting, another man speaks. My neighbor was saying that they were able to take paid leave recently. I think that people have at least become aware of us. The house husband is still in the minority. I think the attitude is starting to change, where it's okay not to torment yourself over being different. The baby is passed to Shuichi. When I first decided to become a stay-at-home husband, I felt like a failure. I never used to smile this much. I was a different man. I always had a sulky look, always making a face like this. He frowns. He makes faces at the baby. That part I think I really changed. I've become cheerful. Later, Shuichi and his son eat together at the apartment. The little boy leans against his father's shoulder. Becoming a father was the first time I cried tears of joy. The boy sleeps on Shuichi's lap. I want to thank him for being born. Wearing a broad smile, Shuichi tears up. Feeling thankful, yes. He removes his glasses to wipe away tears. In the apartment, he tucks a blanket around the sleeping child, folds his hands, and bows. He smiles down at his son. Shuichi kneels beside him, watching him sleep. Now, an ultrasound reveals the shapes of two fetuses.
Fine.
That's good.
Good to hear your voice. Tell me about the doctor.
Well, I went to the doctor, and the two kids in there, honey.
Oh, my God. Is it fantastic?
On the set.
When Cheryl became pregnant with twins, I really had to step up.
Okay.
In a home movie.
Two girls.
Younger Ron hugs an older woman in a hospital waiting room.
Girl's great. Two sisters.
You had two sisters.
Yeah. Two sisters and you.
He picks up young Bryce.
And I honestly remember doing more cooking, more caretaking.
Hello.
Really looking after Cheryl. I remember sort of thinking to myself, wow, I've really been a kid up until now. For the first time, I really feel like a man. I really feel like I'm doing a man's work in my family.
In a home movie, Ron plays with a baby.
I love being a dad for infants. It was so gratifying. Toddlers, a little hectic, a little exhausting, but unbelievable. Through to about 12.
No video?
You're embarrassing me.
The greatest. Reliving your own childhood in a fabulous way.
Thank you.
Cuddles, books, reading books, helping with a little bit of homework, coloring. Let's go on a vacation. Oh, here's Disneyland. Wow. All of it. Wonderful. And then they get shitty.
Different teens appear in a series of home videos.
Mom, you're ruining my life!
It gets really intense in teenage years.
A teen girl cries.
Okay.
And they have more feelings than you knew human beings could have.
You'd be a very good actress, Summer.
Here's my daughter having a temper tantrum because I won't give her her phone.
Let's accept that no father is perfect.
Put on the brake.
Yeah, put on the brake, yeah.
A father teaches his son to drive.
Away from the tree. Watch, lady with the dog. Slow down, you're in a corner. Wow, you've got no idea.
They jerk to a stop.
We're all making this up as we go. There's no school for this. It's love and limits. Love them. And then there are times where I have to say, no.
很棒,一个. 很棒.
我是杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。杨美队。A father breaks his son's game console with a sledgehammer.
Very early on, our daughter, when she was just a baby, I told my wife, keep in mind, no matter what we do, she's going to go to therapy one day, and she's going to complain about us.
Morgan,
oh,
missed the bus.
What are you doing?
So dad is taking her to school, and I'm going to walk her into school, and this is going to be great.
No,
so we're
you're
gonna
not.
Record,
Stop.
We're going to record the experience.
Don't.
My subscribers are going to love this.
No, you don't have subscribers.
Oh, I do.
Back door.
Let's go, kid.
No.
The mustached father gets out of the car with his camera.
Love you.
Bye.
He gets back in.
Life is good.
I give them a lot of rope that I normally thought I would definitely be like a helicopter parent or a tiger dad. If not a tiger dad, like a honey badger dad, some animal.
I don't think my kids have ever been punished. They think they have. They're like, you're so hard on me. I'm like, have you ever been grounded your whole life? Yeah. Have you ever had anything taken away from you? No. Like, they don't even know how I've completely given up.
I'll tell you why. Because I said so. And because it's my house. I remember hearing that and thinking, what a dick move, Dad. And now I'm saying it to my son.
We had a thing called the circle of safety. The circle of safety was you could say anything and there's no punishment. So we got to the point that our kids got so comfortable with the circle of safety, they said everything. And by the time Willow was 15, I started tapping out of circles of safety.
No, Dad, I don't want to talk to you.
Huh?
No. Seriously.
Your body is changing.
No, Dad.
Your body is changing.
Dad, be quiet.
I just want you to be able to talk to me.
I am able to talk to you, just I don't want to talk to you right now.
I'm going to have sexual relations.
Oh, my God, Dad, stop it.
If you're going
to... Mom gave me a book that said about everything.
Oh, I just said
like that. I know, Dad. Talk... Oh, my God.
You can talk to me about
just
it.
Just be quiet.
One of the things that... Jada and I stumbled onto and agreed on really early in our parenting is that we don't know. And if you just start where you don't know, it's so much easier to develop a relationship with your kids because they know you don't know. We got into a really comfortable place of saying, you know, this is a tough one. Help me out here. What do you think you need to evolve and become the greatest version of yourself? Help me. I don't know right now.
You just begin to learn that part of being a dad is handling shit, you know, and coping with it. Even if it's not pretty, even if you're not that good at it, lean into the job of helping to raise these kids because everything helps.
Bare trees line a grassy slope leading to some wooden shacks. Rob and Reese Shear, Darnestown, Maryland. Inside a small white house, strips of bacon fry on a griddle.
We're getting there. Yep, you ready? Hold on, let me check the biscuits. Oh, did I burn the biscuits?
A teen boy stands behind a bespectacled man while another stares at his phone.
You're gonna wake up today? I mean, you literally have been sleeping for 14 hours.
Another man looks into a room.
Get out of your sister's room. She's been sleeping for 14 hours. Oh my God.
She will if you let her.
I promised her that I would make sausage gravy for her.
Rob Shear.
At the point that I knew that I wanted to be a father, I was about 6 years old.
He stares, stone-faced.
Seriously. Do you want biscuits and sausage gravy? You want Daddy to make it for you? Are you going to make it yourself? Wow. Shock.
The sleepy teen daughter walks past.
At one time, I was approached by a lesbian couple about being a donor. I said, okay, well, if I was to do that, what would my involvement be with the child?
Reese Shear.
And they said, well, you wouldn't have any involvement at all. And I said to them, I said, then I could never do it. I mean, if I knew that there was a child of mine out there, I would want to be a part of their life. So I guess that's how I know I wanted to be a father.
So we decided to be foster parents, and we were going to foster to adopt.
I remember when we were being asked about, like, the number of kids to be in our home, you know, I was thinking one, maybe two, because, you know, we had the discussion. We would not separate siblings.
We went from no kids to four kids in less than 6 months.
Three boys and one girl.
That's how we became a family of six, and three of them in diapers.
Everybody thought we were insane. We were just crazy. But, I mean, I guess it took a little bit of that just to accept the situation and do the best we could.
Makai Davis, let your sister play. Not kidding. I don't want to see you playing at all unless you let your sister play. That's your choice. Okay? Hey. There's choices for your actions. If you want to let your sister play, that's awesome. If not, then you're not playing for the rest of the day. Nobody gave a manual how to be a parent. So, you know what? We do the hit and miss.
More like pick your battle.
He's being so mean to me.
But I don't think that your brother doesn't think that it's necessary for you to have male friends yet.
You can have male friends with benefits, not...
What?
Yeah, benefits.
What?
Not a boyfriend.
What are benefits?
What the?
What?
I think you all need to think about your schoolwork and not think about boyfriends and girlfriends.
Rob stares at the boy.
Okay, Amaya, we gotta go.
She steps out of the bathroom.
Put your shoes on, babe.
The kids put on their jackets while Reese works in the kitchen.
Reese came home from work one day because we both worked and the kids all went to daycare and after school. And he said, I want to be a stay-at-home dad. And I said, okay. I said, we have to change our budget, you know, because we're used to two incomes, but we're going to make it work.
And at that time, I had two jobs, but it just made sense. A dad can be the stay-at-home parent, and it's not looked at as being weak. And I felt that I wanted to be home to be there for them.
We get this quite often, who's the mom, who's the dad? I mean, people literally ask us that question. And I have to remind them that we're both dads, but the one thing that we do is we both partner. That's what parents should be doing. See you in a little bit. Bye, love you.
Later, Rob drives.
I am not buying you an Apple Watch. You can't even keep track of your phone. Are you kidding me?
Is that a drone?
No, I'm not buying you a drone.
Hey,
what's up? Yep, Daddy sees. Good dear. Oh, there's a baby up there. Thanks for reminding me of that.
They high five.
Okay, everybody get their boots on. We're going in the back. What up, guys? Are you finally glad we're here? Oh, all day.
Rob and the kids enter a large goat pen at a farm. Amaya runs from a pig.
I had a mother who had been married 6 times. And out of 6 marriages, she gave birth to 10 children. From the very earliest age, I remember my father putting cigarettes out on my leg for his way of control. By my 18th birthday, I became homeless. It was rough. I'm 53 years old this year. I never escaped that. See, my kids have a very, very hard past as well.
And the challenges and the difficulties are things that we can't really do a lot about.
Makai plays with a cat.
For instance, with Makai being diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome, they just weren't sure whether he was going to ever speak.
Makai, that's how you rip your shirt. Stop. Stop.
But I was like, you know, you never say never. And maybe he's just not had somebody take the time.
Oh, no, I'm not going to carry you.
To just show him that he can do it.
All right.
I came home from work one day and Reese had been reading about, you know, kids with fetal alcohol. And he read about a girl who whose parents bought a farm and how it changed her. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what do you think we should do? And he said, here's 5 farms for sale. And so we literally bought a farm. Where's her food bowl?
Maya, they're right there.
The family feeds the animals.
The farm has truly allowed Makai to feel safe. Makai and I are thinking maybe we might get a llama next, or
yeah, I can open it.
Is it a llama or an alpaca?
A llama.
A llama. We're looking at maybe alpaca getting a llama.
Spit. Amaya does a jump split.
You didn't do a toe touch.
Yes, I did. That's
a toe touch. You're supposed to touch your toes when you do that.
I would say every single one of our children have their own form of baggage that they're having to deal with.
I will never forget when Reese came to me and said, we've got a problem. He says, I'm finding lots of food in Amaya's room. I said, she's hoarding. Amaya's been hungry, and she's scared because she's worried that she's not going to be fed.
Watch the mud, bub.
My son Grayson, who is now 11, his mother was 12 when she gave birth to him.
Grayson hugs Rob.
He came into the system for the very first time with bleeding of the brain and shaken baby syndrome. She was pregnant with her second child at 14. That's my son Tristan. Oh, please don't, Tristan. He's gonna do a backflip. Oh, you're so close.
They're hurting. In their own way. They just don't know what to do about it or how to change that. And so as a dad, that's where you come in. You've got to help them.
You got a mustache, girl.
At least you didn't like follow
me. See, I told you I got the mustache.
I do.
What's that?
That's a pimple.
That's a pimple.
Yeah!
Yeah! Where's
mine?
Get out of my face.
It's not a pimple.
Rob smiles.
I won the lottery. I literally won the lottery. I was a dad.
The kids run across the farm as Rob beams at them in the studio.
I have never wanted anything more than to be married and have a family. My childhood wasn't the picture-perfect childhood that I thought it should be, and I wanted to create that for my children.
I think children flourish when they know they're loved. I think children flourish when they're as safe as they can be. And I think children flourish when good examples are set for them. To the extent you can create that environment for kids, I think you're doing about all you can do, which is, you know, we all sort of think we're going to be able to do much, much more. But I don't think any of it sort of supersedes that big three, love, safety, and, you know, an example to follow.
Black and white pictures of Ron as a child hang on a game room wall. Reed and Ron play shuffleboard.
Dad.
I'm winning by a lot.
I remember, you know, Dad was a hard worker, but there was never even a second of doubt of where the priorities were. Yeah, my dad worked a lot, but, you know, we were on set hanging out, and there's this one scene of Dad looking at the camera. He has Jossie on this lap. Paige is like looking over his head, and I'm just like hanging on his ear or something. If I wanted to see Dad, if I wanted to talk to Dad, Dad was there.
Here's a picture of me and my dad. He was in the Air Force. I sort of remember this whole place just a tiny little bit. You saw Dad helping me with the cars on Grand Theft Auto, didn't you?
I saw what? Right here.
This picture?
That's such a good one. Dad, how old were you there?
I was still 22.
Both my dad and my granddad were really, really good dads. God, they were always emotionally there.
These are the boots he planned to become a movie star in. And while he never quite did that, he had to change the course of the family in a powerful way. I felt my father was somebody that I admired and wanted to emulate in many, many ways, especially the way he handled himself and through life.
A white-haired man wears a cowboy hat. Rance Howard, 2013.
So, Granddad.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Home movies show Ron as a child.
A guy named Ron Howard, Ronnie, we called him Ronnie at that time, was working on a show called The Andy Griffith Show.
Young Ron plays catch with Andy Griffith on a film set.
And being his father, I was there as guardian and supervisor on the Andy Griffith set. And I have a vivid memory of the whole operation.
There are no rules for pas and sons.
In a scene from the show.
It's as simple as this. Each mother or father raises his boy or girl, as the case may be, the way that he thinks is best. And I think it's best for you to get a quarter and work for it. Do you understand what I mean?
I think so.
Good.
I'm not going to get the 75 cents.
We were sitting around a table having a reading of the script. And since your dad, Ronnie, couldn't read at that time, I sat in and read for him. And after we read the script, I stood up in front of the producers and the writers and the director, and I said, the way you have Opie talking, that was the character your dad was playing, Opie. The way you have him talking with all of these smart aleck, wise ass things to say, he's going to get laughs, but it is very damaging to any relationship that he might have with his father.
Opie carries a fishing rod.
I mean, people may laugh at it, but deep down, they're going to resent the kid. They're not going to like him. And I said, I think you ought to think about changing it so Opie is not such a brat. And I remember Andy came up to me.
He removes his hat.
And he said, Rance, he says, we've been talking about what you said over lunch. And he says, you're right. He says, we're going to change that character, and he's not going to be brash, and he's not going to be smart-assed. He says, we're going to try to build the relationship between me, Andy, and Opie, same kind of relationship that you have with Ronnie.
I remember you revealing to me once that you were really worried that you could never be as good a dad as your own father.
Yeah, I was very worried about that. Yeah. He was great. I don't think I was.
Ron nods and shakes his head, fighting back tears.
Man, if you can be a good dad, that is a blessing that you can pass on. That is beyond words. And he really delivered.
In a home movie, the Howard family walks on a sidewalk. 1987, London, England. A black cab pulls up. In the cab.
There's the first was slow breathing. Then you transition is. I just hyperventilated it, demonstrating it. So something's a little off.
I'm not the one that's a problem. Your dad has a tendency to hyperventilate.
A pregnant Cheryl hops out of the cab.
I just got the word that the doctor has now said any minute.
Mom's stomach is tightening up. It's starting to push the baby. Right? So that hurts a little bit when that's going on. So what she has to do is concentrate and breathe.
Did you know that Dad has said that his biggest worry was that he was convinced he would never be able to be as good a father as his own father? He was just always worried about that, just because he looked up to Granddad so much.
He said that?
Yeah.
I'm really worried that I'm not going to be as good. I look at Dad, and I'm always saying to myself, I'm like, well, you know, deep down, I'm definitely not as good of a person. Like, yeah, that's been absolutely my worry.
I think you're walking into a pretty good situation. We sort of now know what we're doing. And whereas before, I think we were really faking it. I think in the last year or so, we sort of began to understand the system and develop a program. And we've got some terrific sisters. And,
Ron gets out of a car, you know, cradling a baby.
I hope it's good for you. I want to make it good for you. Yeah.
That's your baby brother. Reed. Can you say Reed?
Now Reed steps out of a room with a swaddled baby in his arms and a cloth over his shoulder.
A lady.
He bottle feeds the baby.
It's a seventh week. She's gotten so much bigger. She eats so much milk.
I know.
Ashley wakes up in the night and pumps, and then I actually feed her, which I love. She just chugged through the whole bottle. And it's just been a really nice bonding thing. Check this out. This is hilarious.
He unfastens a wrap around her, and the baby stretches her arms.
Stretch it out. Stretch it out.
He kisses her head.
Lady. I know. Yes.
Reed carries the baby around the house.
Oh, yes. You know, she's awesome.
He showers her with kisses.
And I'm convinced that she knows me really well. You know, just because she won't remember this doesn't mean it doesn't stay with her, I believe. And if anything, it makes an impact on me.
He lies with the baby in the studio.
Can I tell you the question that I struggle with the most? And I don't know the answer to this. I'd love your answer, or maybe we just leave it as a question that I posit for the audience. Do I get to determine if I'm a good dad, or is that ultimately my daughter's decision to determine if I was a good dad or not? And that's terrifying, that idea of not knowing. Is that weird? It's like the biggest struggle for me is, what is my dad Rotten Tomatoes score? What am I? Am I certified fresh or am I not?
Go. Pedal. I'm about to let you go. Go.
In an empty parking lot, Robert teaches RJ to ride a bike.
Go. Good job.
Very early on, I read a Deepak Chopra book, and he said, you should look at your relationship with your kids like they are a soul and you're a soul, and for a little while you guide them a little bit and then they move on. And it's not a being you possess, it's someone you assist.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, baby. Three times.
One, two, three.
Shuichi grabs a package of snacks from his son.
Having a kid is the meaning of life.
It gives you a job. It gives you a purpose. This is my purpose now. This is, as soon as Winnie was born, I lost my name. I'm not Jimmy Fallon anymore. I'm Winnie's dad.
Like a real father would take a bullet or a flamethrower, like whatever it is that's coming at his kids, you know? The real father puts them behind and takes it on the chest and on the chin.
Life doesn't have to be perfect to be wonderful. Make it wonderful. We don't have to make our family perfect. Just make it wonderful. And that I learned from my dad. You get the tiniest window and then it's gone. It's just gone. So just revel. Revel hard.
I would say there's nothing more remarkable than seeing your kids evolve. When we're sitting around having a meal together and having a real conversation, that I sometimes leave my body and think, this is the stuff.
I think what ultimately adds up is what they see, what they witness.
Reed carries his daughter in a car seat down some porch steps.
The way you, as a father, live your life.
In the car, he clips the seat into the base.
What kind of example do you set? Not everybody can make it to every game or any game. Not everybody can sit there and do homework with their kid because they might be carrying three jobs. And this is something that as a society, we have to acknowledge the importance of what a father means. And then we have to also think about trying to create a society that facilitates their doing their best. Because at his best, a father provides a kind of consistent sense of safety and therefore possibility.
At the beach, Glenn flies a drone with his son.
A gardener understands how to nurture the seeds through good weather, through bad weather. A gardener doesn't want that seed to become anything other than what it is already designed to become. A gardener doesn't want the rose to turn into an oak tree. A good gardener helps the seed become what it wants to become, not what the gardener wants it to become.
Glenn's daughter marks his height as he sits.
A father is a master gardener.
Against a red background, a title appears, Dads. The rudimentary block letters fade. Credits appear, directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. Producers, Ron Howard, Brian Grazer. Producers, Michael Rosenberg, Justin Wilkes. Producers, Bryce Dallas Howard, Walter Madison. Executive producers, Kelly Mullen, Giles Morrison. Executive producers, Sarah Bernstein, Mark Gilbar. Co-executive producer, Meredith Colfers. Director of photography, Andre Lascaris. Editor, Andrew Muriel, ACE. Music, Sammy Jano. Credits roll alongside the interviewees.
I've talked to people that are much cooler than me, Patti Scialfa and Bruce Springsteen, and I was just talking to Patti Scialfa, and she said, oh my God, Bruce will be at the table and he'll tell some joke and he'll be like, ugh, you're such a nerd, Dad. I was like, what? He's Bruce Springsteen. I mean, the rest of us are, he's Bruce Springsteen. She's like, doesn't matter. He's Dad.
My kids, they think I'm corny. I'm hot. I'm like, as a person, they've made a horrible mistake in judgment.
All my daughter wants to do at 8 is watch The Shining. And I'm like, first of all, no. Second of all, that's a great choice for a movie.
This is what dads look like now. This is the new dad. I am wearing a baby. That's the new fashion.
We don't have to push them at all, me or my wife. If anything, much like me and my overacting, just gotta rein it back sometimes, rein it back.
Some of the best times of our entire lives are just quiet moments trying to get our kid to poop. And then they do, and we cheer.
If you don't have your kids on your like home screen, then you're faking.
He holds up his phone.
Just so you know.
I'm a comedian that's doing all right. My sister is a very successful attorney in the Bay Area. What I'm trying to say is hitting your children with sandals does work. I know that's not the woke thing to say, but I'm just saying it is what it is.
when they grow up and you've got like this funny adult. If I didn't know them, if they were like my coworkers or something like that, I would be like, oh, this kid's great. It's like a, some kind of grow your own friends program.
Do I have a favorite dad joke? I like the joke of like, what's a pirate's favorite letter? You'd think it would be R, but it'd be the C.
Thank you so
much. Better than Will Smith?
You've shared so much, sir.
Yeah, now it feels like we got it. I feel thoroughly purged and probed.
Good. I did my job. Well, Dad, I love you.
I love you too. Thanks. You know, well, thanks. I didn't want to be here. I cried on camera. I don't know why I'm thanking you, but I'm proud of you. Very proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay. Copyright Unilever PLCC and Unilever NV 2019. Bryce bounds onto the set and dances with her grandfather in memory of Rance Howard, 1928 to 2017. This film has been described by Pixelogic Media, voiced by Keith Coloris.